good to stay.
Hi, Mike, you're up.
We want to keep going.
All right. Thanks, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, Interim Secretary Roebling. So as Emily said, I think we'll keep this pretty high level and pretty short. I know taking up a lot of your time over the course of this past year, just with various updates on creative and our process that we've gone through here for this pretty exciting first year of our joint pheasant hunting campaign between the Game Fish Department of Tourism and Game Fish and Parks. So today we'll just go through this high level numbers for you, knowing that we'll be available to answer any questions offline for anyone that is interested. And really, here today, we'll just be looking at where we landed versus where we were stepping into this campaign with our initial goals set. So, kicking off, Chris, do you have a presentation to pull up?
Let's
see if we can't get those slides up here.
Mike, what's that?
Mike,
what's that titled? 2020 Pheasant Hunting Marketing and a Campaign Report or something similar. Let me find that exact.
Do you have it, Rachel? I do not.
Hey, Chris, I sent the PDF one more time if you want it, but it's the SDGFP Commission Pheasant Hunting Marketing 2020 review PDF.
I just sent it. Good. Thank you.
For the slideshow.
He has the slideshow too. Do you have the PDF?
I have the PDF as well.
Jeremy, we can go into the license sales update with Heather while they're getting that figured out.
All right. Thanks, Chris. Yep, we'll keep on that next slide there. So as a reminder, just starting, to set the table here, for the group, this was, again, our year one budget, stepping into this new campaign. We had a budget, total budget for this campaign of $700,000, an equal 50-50 match between the Department of Tourism and Game Fish and Parks. Each one of us bringing in, $350,000, obviously, along with, of course, the dedicated staff and time there. Next slide. So year one, when the dust settled, looking at, December 14th, really as kind of the cutoff of this campaign, we ended up executing on $662,000 of that. And really the variance is due to the 2020 campaign season and some of our broadcast TV buys being bumped that was there were some pretty aggressive advertising campaigns out there. So we'll see the impressions come down a little bit. We see this total amount come down. Of course, it's pretty easy to spend any money that went unspent. And we do have some of that earmarked already on some pretty exciting projects like a female hunter study that we're really excited about that will really help define a fourth audience for us in year two of the campaign. So things like that, we're able then to cover with that variance between that $700,000 and $662,000. Next slide. So year one campaign, jumping into this, from what has been proposed and what we shared with the group previously, So we had a goal, an impressions goal of 31.69 million with this, really targeting three main audiences, between lapsed youth in state, you know, a traditionalist hunter and venture hunters, for non-resident audiences. Over the course of, you know, this campaign was executed over the course of 6 months, and really, reach out to 16 states and give us a marketing presence within those. Next slide. Looking at the actual from this, again, this is where we see a little dip with our impressions, based on some of those things getting bumped. But again, a really healthy campaign that we got out there generating, nearly 28 million impressions. So as noted, just that variance in the broadcast TV bump. And then also too, that's December 14th cutoff. You know, we have efforts that have, it's continued on. So placements that have, magazine placements that have dropped here in January and will be dropping over the spring, as we transition from year one to year two. Next slide. So going into this campaign, I had shared previously that, you know, based on some of the findings that we had at South Dakota Tourism, just from previous efforts of our own, and previous studies, really expected a 3-to-1 return on that, you know, on that investment, that we placed into this. So, next slide. Really excited to report, what we see here based on the trackable sales. So, you know, the, a sample size. Those efforts, I mean, that's the thing about marketing, can give you pretty messy in attribution, especially when you have things like broadcast TV and what impact that plays. So when we're really looking at just the trackable pieces that we can say from start to finish, we saw, help move potential visitors, potential hunters, you know, to actually buy a license, which is only a small portion of this. We're really excited to see this, $3.15. For every dollar invested ROI. And again, this is on based on trackable 2020 campaign paid media efforts like digital banners, social, paid search, or otherwise known as pay-per-click or PPC. So if anyone's going online, searching, you know, greatest place to pheasant hunt, you know, that's where they'll see Hunt the Greatest South Dakota. So again, this is something where this advanced level of tracking, though, can give us some insight, really valuable insight, not just making sure that we're, you know, successful with everything we're trying to do, but to help inform some of our future efforts as far as what was instrumental in really helping drive those sales. So next slide. Total revenue that this number, or this $3.15 to 1 was based on was year one license revenue of $643,000. Again, I'll stress, this is just revenue that was generated from that small portion, which was about $204,000 and change, that we could directly track. Next slide. And if we're looking at taking this number, and doing what marketers do, right, and trying to, state how, you know, was this effective or not, or what, you know, the greater overall impact might be in something, this, you know, taking 2017 Game Fish and Parks report on the economic impact of hunting, fishing, trapping, boating, and wildlife viewing in South Dakota, and that per hunter direct spending of, I think it was $1,699, and applying that to the total number of licenses sold, this is where we see a year one potential impact, direct spending impact of nearly 20 million, so 19.84 million. Again, for first year results, this is something that we really has us off to a great start, and really gives us some momentum going into next year. Next slide. So big picture again, this is where I think that next year, as we've shared previously too, you know, especially from the South Dakota tourism side, you know, with a lot of our ongoing campaigns, this, you know, the biggest impact we see is that exponential growth. You know, the long-term impact of these things. So in the short term, this is where we're really, really excited to be hitting that mark where we did, or to know things too, like, you know, as far as, say, R3 efforts there when it comes to retaining hunters, you know, that this campaign was able to retain hunters at a 60% rate versus 40% for the norm, that we saw that ROI that we did on this, you know, on the portion of trackable sales, you know, as we've now committed to year two and year three. Again, this is the sort of thing that gives us great foundation. We know that not everybody was going to get here, especially in a year like COVID, where it was impacting travel so much. We're in South Dakota. We're pretty lucky compared to the rest of the nation. But this is where we'll be able to see. So we know not everybody was able to travel this year and can expect to see in 2021 or beyond. Next slide. A review on target markets that we went, had identified stepping into this campaign. Just a quick look, lapsed youth, our primary states that we were targeting, our secondary. Looking at the next slide in comparison, here's an actual just showing the engagement that we saw across the various efforts and where we saw people engaging with them. Next slide there. And I think the reason that this is important to call out too for this group and a reason to show is, you know, just to give us a good sense too of where people are, those that are interested in potentially coming to South Dakota, where they are coming from or where they are potentially engaging again with our media. And I think, you know, knowing what we've heard from some of our private lodge owners or, you know, some of those, the guided experiences, and knowing the Southeast plays a role, this is one where too, you know, we hadn't set out necessarily identifying a great portion of the Southeast as, you know, our primary or secondary targets, but there's always a little bit of bleed or carry over here. And this is where we can see now into the Southeast where we see people, even though they weren't necessarily on our key target list, we're engaging with our Hunt the Greatest campaign. Next slide. So 2020 placements, well, this is where we'll definitely save time by not diving into all of these, but if anyone is interested, certainly reach out and we can make sure to get assets to people or share. But just looking at the 2020 multi-channel campaign and really how we had set this up. So no matter what media, you know, people are consuming, we wanted to be where they were and we wanted to make sure that everything was connected or correlated. And so be it them seeing our 30-second spot on TV, be it them going to Shields and seeing our online promotion that we had there and our giveaway associated with them, or if, you know, their social channels, Hunt the Greatest, leading to our landing page. We wanted to make sure that everything is connected because that's the thing. The frequency is what really helps make these, what makes a campaign stand out or to help drive someone further down that path. And the other thing too is so, you know, our knowledge of multi-channel campaign and seeing how people engage is also too what gives us bragging rights within the group. And so I got drawn to present these to the group because I had to admit to, you know, our inner circle going in. I think a lot of us, the agencies and myself, were excited about, you know, this high five asset and how that would perform. It's a great picture, lots of great energy, shows that excitement and the camaraderie. But the one on the lower right, with the female hunter holding the pheasant and, you know, that happy look, that was the one that won out. So bragging rights were given to Tanaya, Emily, and some of the others within the Game Fish and Parks office as to what was the best performing of our creative assets. So I'll own up that I lost on that one. But I stress this and share this because this is the sort of thing we want to make sure that you guys understand, that we really are taking an in-depth look at everything, be it copy, be it photos, and making sure that we're going to, as we go forward into year two, we're leaning in on what worked in year one, what we learned from year one to help drive and really inform our campaign going forward. Next slide. Campaign timeline and what we had here. Again, just a refresher. So we had this running July, and we cut off here December 14th on the results, but we see this now carrying through. So we had partnerships, print, all of these things that were planned into January. And then now key points going forward. I think the next steps, next slide here, Chris, okay, wrap up. What we'll be doing now going forward. So we've begun, we'll start work on our female hunter audience profile research and that profile creation for our year 2 campaign. We've had some internal meetings here just even this week, and we will hopefully start work on that in the coming. And I hope to have that complete by March. And during that March timeframe, that's where then as a marketing work group with the various ad agencies we work with, with the various departments, we'll start planning with the hopes to have our year 2 calendar and everything set come June that we can start executing on for the 2021 season. So a great start again for this year, and we really look forward to building off that going into the next. And any questions? Okay. Well, thanks everyone for the time today. And again, look forward to reporting more in the future as we work on year two campaign.
Mike, can you hear us now?
No, I didn't think so. I was waiting. There, now you're good.
Mike, can you hear us now?
Yep.
Yeah, it wasn't that we were letting you off the hook with no questions. We just were technical difficulties here. Our intern is having a little trouble. We'll warm that up here. anybody on the commission have any questions for these guys on their marketing update in the presentation? I have one. Is there a point of diminishing return if we've got a 3.15 ROI, why don't we triple down? Or what's the conversation there as far as if I'm getting that in my personal portfolio, I'm telling people to stack on?
Yeah. No, I think that's a great question. And I know that's one that, you know, previously in the past, certainly the commission has held us to task, right, on bigger investments. And I think this is one where, based on these results, it's a good conversation to have. So initially, this is where, you know, conversations with the agencies have been, you know, or just right now have been at just even making sure that we're definitely not taking away. But this is where we should look at, you know, we've got this good of a start. What more could we do? And we're confident that based on any more investment, we could see that, you know, those returns increase. So nothing said at this point, but it's definitely a conversation to be having.
Thanks a lot. Anybody else have any questions before we move on? All right. Well, number 9.